Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Gujarat Hermes Bioscience Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call hosted by 360 ONE Capital Market Private Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not a guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Hrishikesh Patole from 360 ONE Capital Market Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Pari. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of 360 ONE, I welcome you all to the Q1 FY27 earnings conference call of Gujarat Hermes Bioscience. Hope everyone is in good health and doing well. On behalf of GTBL today, we have with us Dr. Sachin Patel, Managing Director, Mr. Krupesh Patel, Chief Financial Officer. I now hand over the call to Sachin for the management's opening remarks, post which we'll open the session for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thanks very much, Hrishikesh. Thanks very much, Hrishikesh. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of GTBL, I welcome all of you to our Q1 FY27 earnings call to discuss our financial performance and business updates. As Hrishikesh mentioned, on the call with me today is Krupesh, our CFO. It gives me great pleasure to address you all today as GTBL stands at an important transformational juncture in its growth journey. Over the last few years, we have consistently spoken about transforming GTBL into a larger, more diversified, and innovation-driven pharmaceutical company. Today, we are beginning to see this strategy take tangible shape. While our quarterly financial performance remains important, what is more significant is the strategic platform we are building for the next decade of growth. The global pharmaceutical industry continues to evolve with increasing demand for complex APIs, specialty pharmaceutical ingredients, and fermentation-based products. Customers are seeking partners that offer scientific expertise, process development, regulatory compliance, and end-to-end manufacturing capabilities. We believe these structural trends create a compelling opportunity for GTBL, and our strategy is focused on building capabilities that allow us to participate in higher-value opportunities across the pharmaceutical value chain. The strategic initiatives undertaken over the last 18 to 24 months are all connected by one common objective: transforming GTBL into an integrated, fermentation-led pharmaceutical platform. Our ongoing multi-phase capital expenditure program is expanding our fermentation infrastructure, strengthening our R&D capabilities, and creating downstream API manufacturing capacity. These investments are intended to diversify our product portfolio, deepen technology capabilities, and enable greater value addition. Historically, the company has developed deep expertise in fermentation-based intermediates. Going forward, we aim to progressively move downstream into APIs and other high-value products, thereby capturing a larger share of the pharmaceutical value chain. Moreover, we have been strategizing to complement this organic growth with inorganic expansion opportunities. As you might be aware, we announced two major strides in that direction recently. We recently announced plans to acquire Microbio Farm Japan, which specializes in precision fermentation and various other technologies and therapy areas. This acquisition provides access to advanced fermentation technologies, specialized scientific talent, proprietary know-how, more manufacturing muscle, and an established R&D platform. The move adds therapy areas across immunosuppressants, oncology, and anti-infectives, as well as technical capabilities such as peptides, plasmids, ADCs, and enzyme engineering. Overall, this would enhance our capabilities across fermentation science, process development, and next-generation products, and accelerates our aspiration of becoming a globally integrated fermentation-based CDMO player. Complementing our technology expansion is acquisition of selected global brands from Sanofi France. As a part of this, we are acquiring 13 established brands in the anti-TB and anti-infective segments. This portfolio gives us access to 55 countries across Europe, Middle East, and Africa markets. While Microbiopharm strengthens our upstream scientific and manufacturing capabilities, the Sanofi portfolio expands our downstream commercial presence through established brands and international marketing access. It also creates opportunities for forward integration from intermediates to APIs and finished formulations. Together, these acquisitions substantially broaden our therapy areas such as oncology, immunosuppressants, etc., as well as give us a global geographical footprint. Viewed as a whole, these initiatives present a clear strategic roadmap. Expanded fermentation capacity supports manufacturing scale, investments in R&D strengthen innovation, API expansion enables forward integration, Microbiopharm enhances technology capabilities, and the Sanofi portfolio broadens our commercial reach. Collectively, these initiatives position GTBL as an innovation-led pharmaceutical company with a growing CDMO capability, a wide therapy area, and a strong foundation for sustainable long-term growth. Now, I would like to hand it over to Krupesh to take you through the financial performance of the quarter. Over to you, Krupesh.
Thank you, Sachin bhai. Good afternoon, everyone. Revenue from operations for Q1 FY27 stood at ₹43.8 crore compared with ₹35.9 crore in the corresponding quarter last year, an increase of 22.1% year-on-year. This growth came in from a robust increase in sales volumes, which reflects a healthy demand outlook for our products. EBITDA for the quarter grew by 49.4% year-on-year to ₹20.8 crore with an EBITDA margin of 47.5%, up by 867 basis points. Profit after tax stood at ₹11.1 crore compared with ₹9.1 crore in Q1 FY26, reflecting a growth of 22.1% year-on-year. Our balance sheet remains healthy and provides the flexibility to continue investing in our long-term growth initiatives. With that, we can now open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Harsh Upadhyay, an individual investor. Please proceed with your question, sir.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes, clearly.
Yes, sir, you are.
Good afternoon, Sujin sir. It has been almost 3 years since we last had a con call, sir. So first of all, my question is that what was the reason behind the almost 3 years of silence?
Or is that the first question or the only question?
No, it is the first question, sir.
Okay, no, I think you're right. We have been silent for the past 3 years. I think we have been in a mode whereby our business has been pretty, I would say, flat, but at the same time, we've been sold out on capacity, and we have been in a working phase whereby we've been investing in CapEx and building the infrastructure that we have. And admittedly, we have been late by almost about a year in terms of the projects that have been implemented, but now it's all ready to go.
Yes, sir. So for my first question is regarding the 3,000 crore mega acquisition that we are doing. So we are raising around 1,000 crore through QIP and taking a debt of around 2,000 crore. Now, if we take the modest cost of capital around 10%, then it will create around 200 crores of interest burden every year. So if this new business brings around 1,000 to 1,200 crores of revenue in the initial years, then a huge chunk of profit will go directly as an interest payment. So, sir, how does this actually make financial sense for us in the near term? And when do you realistically expect these acquisitions to start adding actual net profit to our company's bottom line after paying the interest?
A couple of points. Although we have signed both the acquisitions at one time, one of them gets closed right now. The second one is still probably about 6 months or 9 months, if not longer away, because the long stop date over there is June next year. The reason for that essentially being that there are significant regulatory approvals that have to be obtained from over 50 countries. So it is expected to take time, which it usually does. And with regards to the interest cost, while the interest percentages are significantly higher in India, in the two geographies that we are looking at, the interest cost is significantly lower than the 10% that you have mentioned. So we don't see interest outflow to the tune of the number that you mentioned. And the way we see it from the very beginning, this business is actually cash flow positive.
Okay, sir. So my next question is regarding the API block. So back in November 2023 con call, you guided that we would start seeing additional revenue from the API block in FY25. Now we are already in the FY27, but our quarterly revenue is still stuck around the historic 40 crore run rate. Could you please explain, sir, what led to such a long delay of 2 years when we finally see the actual revenue in the P&L?
So essentially, our API block, although we were planning to start it immediately, it took a lot of time because we did not have enough capacity in the fermentation block. So that is something which has just begun now. And unless we had more intermediate, we had no opportunity to produce API because whatever we were producing was already contracted in terms of sales. So we could not get into the API part by cannibalizing or by reducing the supplies that we had to the current customers, which have been long-term partners of ours for a long time.
So, sir, now we are having the additional fermentation capacity that is which we are going to use to make the API, right?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So, my last question is regarding the merger that we have planned with the Thinnest Medicare, sir. So we noted the announcement happened in the around November 2024. But after 6 months, the decision was made to withdraw the scheme. Sir, could you please explain the insight into the strategic thinking behind pursuing the merger initially and what factors led you to decide to call it off?
So our initial thought was to essentially make this a fully integrated pharmaceutical company with API fermentation and brands in the domestic market. But at a similar point of time at GTBL, we appointed an external firm to give us a strategic option in terms of what all could we do in GTBL. And this is where the whole concept of a fermentation-based CDMO became more clearer to us. And we felt that if we would be doing anything else, we would be diluting what GTBL is doing. And hence, from a perspective of GTBL, it was decided that we want to grow this particular business as a fermentation-based CDMO and not get into other businesses which were predominantly domestic in nature.
Right, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side. I will join back to you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Arihant Agrawal from Arthant Ventures. Please proceed with your question.
Hello. Yeah, hi. I had a question with regard to your group company, Themis Medicare. And, post the merger, the acquisition that you have, the Sanofi brands and MBJ, what are the benefits that can actually move towards formulation for Themis? Do you see that happening, over the next 1 to 2 years where, I think a formulation which is currently outsourced will eventually move towards Themis?
So I think a couple of things. I'll divide the discussion or the response between Themis and GTBL because we are really on the GTBL earnings call. So from a GTBL perspective, the Sanofi business, which is there, will be contracted to a certain part of it, will be contracted to CMOs, which may or may not be Themis. But as plans stand right now, it will not be Themis because there are projects which are going on in Themis already or some other category of products. So we don't envisage that. But yes, we most certainly will be moving production from Sanofi to other sites, but on a CMO basis, which may or may not be inside India.
Thank you. That answers my question. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirali Shah from Ashika Investment Managers. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I have three questions. So first one is on the MBJ. We have a lot of capabilities that we are bringing in from the MBJ portfolio, like the precision fermentation, ADCs, enzymes. Just wanted to know which of these platforms are already commercialized or commercially validated today, and which are essentially like a five-year option, and what revenue is currently being generated from each of them?
So at MBJ, apart from ADCs, which is a relatively new technology that they have developed and patented, all the other areas are already commercialized, which means they have experience of at least one project that they have put into development and also commercialized, which means they have the respective GMP accreditations too, which would be required. In terms of revenues which are coming in from each of the verticals, that we are not in a position to divulge at this stage.
Okay. So ADCs is something that will be coming up now, right?
ADCs is something which will be, so they have the technology, but there is no project which is still bagged from a CDMO perspective. But it's an innovative technology, which only time will say how much interest it gains from the prospective customers. But all the other technologies, meaning peptides, plasmids, onco, precision fermentation, immunosuppressants, anti-infectives, these are all commercialized. Or at least one product from each of them is commercialized.
Understood. The second question is on the so we are seeing a global product market shift from rifampicin towards rifapentin. What is the downside to our existing rifamycin S economics, and how much of that risk is offset by the Gujarat Sanofi moving downstream into rifapentin APIs?
We actually like, from a Rifa S manufacturing perspective, we like the fact that the market is moving towards rifapentin, although not as rapidly as we would like, because the requirement of Rifa S to manufacture 1 kilo of rifapentin is more than what you require to manufacture rifampicin. And from our perspective, it doesn't matter either way because we are ready with both the APIs.
Understood. And lastly, on the fermentation capacity, if you can help bridge the utilization, the additional 540 KL capacity that we have come up with, and more color on the customer qualifications and how much of it is currently unallocated.
So we have, as you mentioned, we have practically doubled the capacity. Not all of the expansion is going only for encompassing, because there is some expansion which is also gone for R&D and CGMP pilot facilities, but practically doubled the capacity. The manufacturing site starts full steam by the end of this month. So we have to basically commercialize everything that we produce.
What will be our utilization level from that incremental plant?
So from a fermentation perspective, it's zero or 100. You know, so basically we will be running capacity at full scale. So the expanded capacity will be fully operational and running and producing by the end of this month.
Okay, that's
in terms of customers, etc. Obviously, our target is everyone who is using the intermediate in and outside the country.
Understood. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saloni Arya from Molecule Venture PMS. Please proceed with your question.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. So I just have one question on the Microbiopharm Japan deal. If we are made aware, this deal is expected to be closed by August end. So has the funding been secured to close the deal?
Yes, pretty much. Pretty much.
Okay.
So, and I think there would be some last minute approvals required, but yes, otherwise it is in place.
Okay. So if the funding is secured, so may I ask what this extra 450 crore debt flexibility option plus 1,000 crore guarantee that we have recently taken from the group companies? What's the purpose for that, sir?
So we are preparing for multiple avenues in terms of funding. So we have one avenue closed, but we would like to work with the optimal mix of debt and equity. So we are keeping everything ready by the end of this particular month, when we have to do the closing, to figure out or rather to ensure that we have the best mix that is required to close this particular transaction. And hence, there are multiple approaches which are being explored and being exercised also. At the right time, we will take a call what works best for us.
Right, makes sense, sir. Sir, regarding the standalone capex that we have done, the fermentation block as well as the API block, I just wanted to take an update from you. Since last we spoke, we were expecting the commercialization to happen from this month onwards. So has that started yet, and what is the update on this thing? When can we expect numbers coming in from the standalone entity?
We should start seeing the output from the expanded capacity to a certain extent from this quarter, and then finally from in the second half of the year.
So for both the API and the fermentation block will be up and running?
That's right.
Okay. That's it from my side, sir. All the very best for your venture. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind the participants that you may press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Mithun Maiti from MMM Capital. Please proceed with your question.
Good afternoon, sir. Sir, my question is regards to the Sanofi acquisition, which is more on asset-light model, as we are not acquiring any of their assets, manufacturing assets. Since there are no factories being acquired, the Sanofi's portfolio molecule will be manufactured immediately by whom, as in post-closing the deal, as in where it will be manufactured? Will it be manufactured directly by us, or will we be doing it some other party?
Sorry, the line was not very clear. Was the question if Sanofi's product is going to be manufactured directly by us or by someone else? Yeah. Was that the question?
Just after the post-closing of the deal.
after post-closing, there is a transition service agreement between us and Sanofi for 3 years, whereby in a step-by-step manner, all the transfers will take place. It'll start with country-by-country transfer of the marketing authorization from their name to our name, which will finally culminate into all the manufacturing moving into our control. Not the sites, not the people, but just the manufacturing. So essentially, we will be using CMOs, some of them which already are Sanofi is using, and some of them we will create at the end of 3 years' time.
So after 3 years, this would be completely manufactured by us. That's the plan, right?
We hope much earlier, but yes, 3 years is the maximum time that would take. So all the tech transfers, et cetera, would be complete in the first year itself.
Okay. My question is regard to the fundraising activity. How much we are raising via debt? Is it 2,000 or is it 1,500?
So we are keeping ourselves ready to do the transaction completely or significantly by debt, and also planning on equity. So as I mentioned to the previous person who was asking the question, we'll do the right mix as the time comes by.
But we haven't decided any absolute amount in terms of debt. What's the exact amount? We have kept that option open.
Right now, I think what we have decided is that we are raising equity to up to 1,000 crores. That is what we are looking at right now, to raise equity up to 1,000 crores. And then we will figure out exactly whether we raise 1,000 or how do we go about the debt. What do we do with regards to the debt part? But we are keeping everything ready for us.
Okay. Okay. And this MBT is proprietary technology, like 450 enzyme library, as in how quickly we can absorb it and commercialize it within Gujarat Chemist.
Sorry, was the question about enzymes and how we can commercialize it in GTBM?
Yes. How soon it's going to be?
I think we have some clear ideas on this, and we can do a fair amount of work within the first year. So I think it won't take too much time for us to bring in some quick wins in terms of synergy between the two companies.
Great. That answers most of the questions. So my only request is, can we have this conf call going on quarterly basis, if not quarterly, on a semi-annual basis regularly rather than just one off?
Yeah, most certainly.
Okay, great. Thank you. Appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, sir. Two questions from my end. The first question is on the promoter encumbrance. Could you guide me? If I'm not wrong, in the month of July, around 2% of the encumbrance got released. So what is the action plan from here on part of that? How would we see the encumbrance going down?
Sorry, you'll have to. I'm not aware about this particular detail. The 2%?
I mean the pledge of the shares that has happened. Because I guess it is around, as on June, it was around 48%, 48.5%, and a certain 1.5-2% got released in July. So wanted to know what is the action plan on this part, to reduce the promoter pledge.
I think within a year it should be. It will be going down significantly. A year to 15 months should be going down significantly.
Okay, okay. And wanted to understand on our base business, what kind of capex can we expect in this year, in FY27?
So most of our capex is now completed. I think probably to do some last things. The last mile thing, we may have a little bit left, about 10 to 15 crores, but otherwise most of the capex is already done by the company.
Right. And some amount of maintenance CapEx would also be there, right, in this year?
Yes, some amount that would be there for sure. But typically,
okay,
our maintenance CapEx has been a few crores, not much.
Okay, so around 20 odd crores can we expect, I mean, on the base business for the year,
Yes.
including everything?
Including everything.
Yeah, perfect, perfect. Yeah, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Viraj Parekh from JMP Capital Family Investments Office. Please proceed with your question.
Hey, good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. My first question is slightly broad-based. So basically, what I would like to mention is, since FY 2023 to FY 2026, we have been more or less in a similar range of revenues, as well as operating profitability. So firstly, I would want you to throw some light as to what is the vision of the management team and the company for the next, say, 3 to 5 years. I understand we have been in an investment phase. So if you could give us some flavor, it will be very helpful. That's the first one. And if I may, so second is a little bit on the bookkeeping front. If you could guide us as to how the gross block has moved from FY 2023 to FY 2026 in absolute terms, if you can just re-mention it, sir. Thank you and all the very best.
Thanks. So I'll answer the first question, and I'll let Rupesh answer the second one on gross block. So over the last, I think 4 or 5 years, our numbers have been pretty flat in terms of revenue and in terms of margins, because essentially we've been sold out. And to increase capacity in fermentation is not very easy. So it's taken us, first few years have been there in terms of upgrading our current facility, which were quite old. And then the next 3 years have been spent in terms of creating the new infrastructure that we have done now. So the flatness really comes essentially, as I said, from the fact that we've been sold out and nothing else. In terms of our future vision and goals, as I mentioned in the introductory statements that I made, we want to transform. So besides definitely growing on the stack that we already have organically, by selling more of what we are producing and perhaps some more products, we want to transform ourselves into a fermentation-based CDMO. So that is what the focus is. That is what we are working on through this Japanese acquisition. And at the same time, financial strength is extremely important, and that is where the Sanofi portfolio comes in, because it is forward integration of some of our APIs, which gives us a healthy stack of margins over there also. So vision is quite simple: fermentation-based CDMO, grow on that, and improve our financial performance. I'll let Rupesh answer the gross block question.
So if you see on gross block side, so our gross block was around 62 crores in FY 2023, and if you see the FY 2026 balance sheet, it is around 435 crores, including CWIP. So if you think, we have incrementally added around 370 crores in last 3 years in gross block. This 370 crore comprises of new fermentation facility, API facility, new R&D infrastructure, and the hybrid power project, which is recently going on.
Right. Sure, sir. Just a follow-up on that. Thank you for your answer, firstly. So secondly, is it, or would it be right to say that we can replicate our historic asset turns? And, just on a growth side, sir, next 3 to 5 years, if you can just give us some sense on the growth, sir. What is the kind of top line we would want to achieve, seeing the kind of investments, long-term investments that we've made? And again, my question is for the longer term, sir, not for the near term, just to clarify.
So on asset turns, if I can say, out of 370 crore, around 200 crore is if you can consider on asset turn side, because this 200 crore comprises new fermentation facility and API facility. So if I can say on asset turn basis, it is on 200 crore, you can say 1.4 to 1.5x is the asset turn.
Got it, sir.
So will it be fair to say that across, say, next 3 to 5 years, you know, putting conservatism also, you know, we would want to reach that 500 crore odd number in terms of our top line?
So I can just want to say, I don't want to specify a certain number here, but I can say that we are on base case basis, we want to grow on high teen basis, I can say.
Got it. No, understood, sir. Thanks a lot for your patient hearing and answers, and all the very best to the team.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Nimish Pandey from NP Investments. Please proceed with your question.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Hope I'm audible to you.
Yeah, clearly.
Yes, sir. So, sir, I have a couple of questions. So, I just wanted to know, sir, could you take us through the key factors that shaped, FY26 revenue and profitability? And what key development should investors watch over the coming 2 to 3 years, particularly around the company's capex and acquisition plans?
So for FY26, in terms of numbers, if you see, they are pretty much in line with the previous few years. So there may have been 1 year where you would have seen a little bit of reduction because of some production-related issues, because of excessive rains and power fluctuations. But otherwise, on the whole, FY26 has been pretty stable and pretty steady vis-a-vis the previous few years. So all I can say is I think we were pretty much sold out in terms of capacity. So we were producing to the our usual efficiency and we were sold out. So I think there's nothing else that I can add to that. While the second question was again.
Yes, so second question was like, how do, and what key developments and should investors watch over the coming 2 to 3 years, particularly around the company's capex and acquisition plans?
I think over there, you've clearly mentioned, I think Krupesh mentioned in the previous caller's response also in terms of how the capex has come through and what we expect in terms of asset turns from the new capex, which is coming. So we would very much hope and expect growth coming in on a quarter-on-quarter basis. So that is one part. And the second part is with MBJ coming in the fold, with all the capabilities coming in the fold, I think some exciting synergies is what we are foreseeing coming through, which would essentially obviously lead to a lot of new projects that we can do together, which would also add further to the revenues and earnings of the company. And I think integration with the Sanofi portfolio, so that will also be a very interesting space to see, because that will definitely add value in terms of both top line and bottom line.
Okay, so my next question is, what strategic value do the microbiopharm acquisition and the Sanofi portfolio bring to the GTB, and how do they strengthen the company's CDMO capabilities and growth prospects?
So for to have a fermentation-based CDMO title, or you know, to call yourself a fermentation-based CDMO, besides doing fermentation, we need a large number of capabilities that one needs to have to be able to say that, yes, we have all the capabilities that a typical fermentation-based bio-CDMO would require. So if we had to build those capabilities in-house, it would take us 7 to 8 years. Now, with microbiopharm, it gives us a jump start of 7 to 8 years, because all these capabilities are there, projects are there, supplies are there, and of course, relationships with big pharma in Japan and a few big pharma globally also. So this is what microbiopharm brings us from one day to another. And with regards to Sanofi, you know, we were producing intermediates till yesterday. Now we are producing APIs. One also wants to produce the formulations, because you want to make sure that you have the entire value chain under you. So I think that is the benefit that the Sanofi portfolio brings us. It essentially secures our bread and butter, which is what we are making right now.
Okay, got it. Understood, sir. So my last question is, how do you expect GTBI's business mix and financial performance to develop over the next few years? And what returns do you expect from the investments being made as a part of the current growth strategy? I mean, it's pretty generic, but if you could please answer.
I think, again, this was probably answered in the previous caller. We are with expanded capacity, we are expecting the asset turns that Krupesh mentioned, and we should start seeing that as time goes by in the future. So I think that's the GTBL standalone objective which is there.
Understood. Understood. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Thanks for answering the question.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket from Sagri Capital. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yes, clearly.
Sir, just one quick question vis-à-vis the Sanofi acquisition. So while you have clarified that you'll be manufacturing some of these products in-house or via CMO, depending on the capacity at hand, so are we going to market this product as well? Because it seems currently Sanofi is not really aggressively promoting these products. So will there be a more aggressive stance on marketing these offerings? Because these might be, I think, branded generic products in their respective markets. So any color on that?
Yes, so all of them are branded generic. You are absolutely right. And you are absolutely right, Sanofi is not marketing them at all. So wherever we want, we have the opportunity to take Sanofi distributors, and some of them are pretty strong, so we intend to go ahead with that. And then in certain markets where we feel that not enough is being done, we have already tied up with distributors who are strong over there in terms of taking these particular products to market. So they're already there in the market, but much more can be done with aggressive marketing, and that is definitely something that we are very excited about.
Okay, and are these products not promoted via, say, medical representative, something that is there in the Indian space? Like, these are all more like, seems more like a trade generic products, like distributed via distributors. Is that the case?
These are branded generic products. So in certain markets, distributors are marketing it through their field force. In certain markets, no one is promoting them. So there's a mixed bag. Country to country, there's a difference.
Okay, sir. Now, sir, if I whatever we have gathered so far, it seems it's already operating at that segment, or that those brands are operating at a reasonably high margin. Because again, while the marketing cost per se is relatively low, and Sanofi's premium pricing is anyways giving them that. So is there a way and means by which we are looking at, say, expanding that EBITDA margin, or the value add, or say the better owner thesis that we want to bring to this table is largely through better distribution rather than margin expansion? So can margin expansion be relatively ruled out, given that it's already operating at a relatively high margin, even for a branded generic play?
No, in fact, both the opportunities are there. Besides the fact, as you rightly pointed out, we improve distribution through a lot more aggressive approach. We also are expecting significant improvement in margins by integrating our API that we are using into the supply chain, vis-à-vis the API that currently Sanofi uses.
Okay, sir. Okay, now just in case I missed out, so within the micro farm space, what percentage is currently coming via, say, patented offerings, or say if not today, say for 3 to 5 years out, depending on the kind of pipeline that we have? So what could be the, say, patented vis-a-vis, say, genericized portfolio mix? And is it safe to assume that entire revenue from micro farm currently is, they are out and out formulations CDMO, right? Not the typical API CDMO that we have in India space, the major ones primarily.
So microbiopharm is 100% API CDMO. There is very little formulation, probably about 4 or 5% formulation which is there. And APIs which are predominantly made by fermentation. And 60% of their business is currently CDMO. So significant amount is CDMO.
And how much would be, say, under patent?
So from what we understand, most of it is already off patent.
Okay.
But their development pipeline, obviously, the new projects that they are working on are under patent, but they are yet to be commercialized. But the commercialized projects are now off patent.
And is the clientele largely based out of, say, Japan, because there are a lot of innovators over there, or they also have, say, clientele outside that, like, say, Europe or US?
60% is in Japan, 40% is outside Japan.
Okay, and this is clientele or this is revenue?
Revenue.
Okay, okay. Thank you. Thanks for answering my query.
Thank you.
Best of
luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sitesh from Kosha Capital. Please proceed with your question.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir. You're audible now.
Sorry, I'm not able to hear anything.
Am I good now? Is it better?
Yes.
Yeah. So you had mentioned that you had you're basically acquiring capabilities and getting a head start of 7-8 years with the acquisition of MicroBioPharm. Could you please share what are these capabilities and with whom will we be competing with these capabilities in the global arena? That's the first question, sir.
So in terms of capabilities, so besides a wider product category, I mean, we are making anti-infectives or other rifampicin-based products. They have immunosuppressants, they have oncology, and they have anti-infectives. And in terms of capabilities, they have got peptides. They have plasmids, which is essentially is a base to manufacture DNA, RNA, gene therapy, CAR-T. They have precision fermentation. They have enzyme engineering. And the capability that they are now building up is ADCs.
Sure. And who?
In terms of...
Yeah, competitive.
I think globally there are quite a few companies. Not too many, but probably, and that is also another interesting part for us. Not too many in fermentation CDMO, which covers all these things, but a few. I think the large ones are obviously the likes of Lonza and perhaps WuXi in China. And of course, in India, we've got Anthem Biosciences. So I think this would probably be a summary and a few more. Global.
Sure, got it. And so second is both these acquisitions, the acquisition of Sanofi's brands and this one, will it be margin dilutive or will it be on the similar margins that our current GTPL business has? I mean, once we stabilize and integrate our operations successfully.
We would hope that, you know, once this integration is completed, once the stabilization is done, we'll be close to where we are right now.
Got it. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Harsh Upadhyay, an individual investor. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, sir. Thanks for providing the opportunity once again. Sir, my question is regarding what exactly we are cooking right now in our API block. Is it mainly rifampicin, rifaximin, or any other molecule?
All three.
Okay, sir. And sir, I'm asking about the Sanofi deal. Sir, what will happen in the future? So suppose Sanofi is selling a medicine of anti-tuberculosis and Sanofi is written on the medicine name. So in the coming future, we will see the name of GTBL on that medicine. How will it happen? Sir?
Yes, the brand will remain as it is, whatever it is right now. And the manufacturer will change from Sanofi to Themis Biosyn.
Right, sir. And sir, are you planning to use the API that you are manufacturing from the Indian facility to the Sanofi? Is it how the integration happens?
Eventually, yes.
Sir, is there any inspection or audit happened from the Sanofi side that we are going to utilize our API in that?
No, but we are expecting approvals for our APIs in the coming years, so we don't need to wait until the integration with the Sanofi portfolio happens. We'll be ready much before that.
Okay, sir. And sir, regarding that, the hybrid power plant that recently has gone live, so what kind of actual saving or percentage boost that we can expect in our EBITDA margin from lower power cost?
So it has not gone live yet. We are expecting phase one to go live in September, and then 2 months later, the second phase will start. And it should improve our EBITDA margins for sure, because about seven, this will allow us to get our power at a significantly lower price.
Yes, sir. Sir, my last question is regarding that recent dispute with Optimus Truck. So could you please explain, sir, what was the main reason behind their initial decisions of not buying our product?
So I will, because of confidentiality reasons, I will not get into the details of it, but the good news is that that dispute is behind us, and we are restarting business.
Sir, in case, suppose they have not adjusted with our needs and whatever the agreement that happened earlier, so what was the option that we had, except that dispute and the lawsuit that happened? But what are the alternate options that we had to handle our inventory?
There are more than enough buyers for the same product in the country, so that was not a problem. And over the last 6 or 9 months, we have not supplied to them, and still we could easily sell out our capacity. So that was not a problem. But as I mentioned, both the companies have worked constructively to resolve the dispute and continue business.
Sir, is there any plan for further dilute the customer concentration going forward?
I think I mentioned in one of the previous answers that our endeavor is to get into the supply chain and sell intermediate to anyone in the country and outside who is manufacturing these APIs.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot for all the replies.
Thank you.
Best of luck, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hitesh from Kosha Capital. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity again. One very strategic question. Sir, very few Indian companies have been able to digest a large overseas acquisition. We have very few examples of Indian companies turning around. And I think in our case, two back-to-back major acquisitions, given the size of our company, the current business. Just trying to understand how thin are we spreading in terms of management bandwidth and also the kind of risk that we are taking, because there's a leverage coming in, there's a huge integration that needs to be done. And then there's a group company also where, again, we have some inherent challenges. How are you, I mean, as an investor, it looks a little worrying how things could play out given this context, sir.
So both the businesses that, so let me put it this way. First of all, I think you will agree that over the last 5 or 7 years, GTPL business has been pretty steady and cash flows have been pretty strong. So from a GTPL perspective, things have been, I think, reasonably robust. In case, so our endeavor when we were looking at both the acquisitions were that, yes, we are getting into a new geography, and we don't want to really look at inorganic opportunities where there is uncertainty of business or there have been too many ups and downs over the last 5 years. So both the businesses that we are looking at have been very steady historically. There has been no major upside nor downside in any of the businesses. And as a result of that, and for example, in MBG, a very strong management, which continues to be there. So we are not getting into any geography or any business where we are taking the responsibility of turning the business around. We are simply bringing in the synergies in both the places, which can add value, whereby 1 + 1 is equal to more, significantly more than 2. I think that is where strategically we are aligned. We have no intentions of going to Japan and managing the company in Japan, but integration for sure, where both the teams are very excited to work together on that.
Mm-hmm,
integration, sure. I mean common projects where both the India-Japan advantage can actually come out.
Yeah. So because, I mean, I couldn't do a very detailed research on MicroBioPharm, but, you know, in the last 5 years, now this is the second time it is changing hands. So I think the first time it happened in 2021, 2022 or something. And then I don't see, at least, you know, from whatever limited work that I've done, I haven't seen much of improvement in the last 4 or 5 years after the last management took over. I think the private equity firm took it over. So do you really, in this context, when do you think the benefits or the synergies that you are anticipating will come to us? How much time frame, what is the time frame you're looking at when we can realize that benefit, sir?
So the private equity firm came in 5-6 years ago, and as the fund closes, the life of the fund closes, and they are up for sale, and that is what has happened. And with regards to the journey, their journey over the last 5 years, although the top line may have not improved, there is a significant improvement in the bottom line, which has happened by then creating a lot of value-added businesses and technologies which have improved EBITDA line significantly. So I'll leave it to that and say that as a top line, it may not seem as interesting, but from the capabilities that they've built up and the bottom line that they have managed to get and the cash flows and the cash flow situation that they have, it's a very interesting proposition. And I should also state that 2.5 years ago, we went to them to ask if they were ready for sale. So the initiation in terms of sale was actually very well thought of from our end.
Sure, sure. And so the second part, when do you see these synergies playing out? What is the time frame you're looking at, sir?
We expect some projects to start within the first year.
Got it. Sure, sir. I'll look forward to learning more on this as we move along. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand over the conference to Mr. Dr. Sachin Patel, sir, for his closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So as we look ahead, our priorities remain focused on executing our expansion projects, integrating recent acquisitions, commercializing new capabilities, broadening our product portfolio while staying focused on strong financial performance. We believe these investments lay foundation for a greater and stronger and more diversified globally competitive GTBL. We remain committed to discipline execution, innovation-led growth, and sustainable value creation for all our stakeholders. Thank you all for joining this call today. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. On behalf of 361 Capital Market Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line. Thank you.